Samuel Philippe. Samuel Philippe was a righteous man in every sense of the word. No one could remember having seen him commit an evil act or having intentionally wronged anyone in any way. He was unrestrictedly devoted to his friends, who were always sure to find him at their service when they needed him, even at the expense of his own private interests. Work, fatigue, sacrifice, nothing kept him from being useful. He served naturally, without being ostentatious, and seemed perplexed whenever anyone gave him any credit for it. He never wished ill on anyone who had harmed him. Instead, he sought to be of service to them as if they had actually done good to him. Whenever he endured ungratefulness, he would say to us, "I am not the one you should pity. They are." Although he was very intelligent and endowed with much energy, his very laborious life was obscure and full of severe trials. He was one of those elite types who flourish in the shadows, whom the world does not recognize and whose light is not reflected over the earth. Through an understanding of Spiritism, he acquired an ardent faith in the future life and a great resignation before the ills of earthly life. After having suffered a painful disease, he died in December of 1862 at the age of 50. He was truly mourned by both family and friends and has been evoked many times since his death.
Do you clearly remember your last few moments on Earth?
Perfectly. My memory of them has returned to me little by little, although at the time my thoughts were still confused.
Because your exemplary life awakened our interest so much, would you mind describing to us, for our own instruction, how your passage from the corporeal to the spirit life occurred, as well as the situation in which you now find yourself in the spirit world?
Gladly. This account won't be useful only to you, but to me as well. In turning my thoughts back to the earth, the comparison will enable me to appreciate even more the goodness of our Creator. You know how full of tribulation my life was. However, I never lacked courage in the face of adversity, thank God. And now I must congratulate myself on it. How much I would have lost if I had given up to discouragement. I quake at the thought, for then my suffering would have been of no use, and I would have had to start all over again. Oh, my friends, may you grasp this truth, for in it resides the happiness of your future. No. A few years of suffering is certainly not too much to pay for such happiness. If only you knew what a few years are when compared to eternity. If my last life did in fact have any merit in your eyes, you would not feel the same regarding the ones before it. It was only due to much personal effort that I have become what I am today. To erase the last traces of my previous wrongs, I had to suffer those final trials, and I voluntarily accepted them. I drew from the firmness of my resolution the strength to bear them without complaining. Now I bless them, every single one of those trials. Thanks to them, I have broken my connections with the past, and it has become only a memory. I can now, with true satisfaction, contemplate the path I have traveled. Oh, you who made me suffer while I was on earth, who were hard and ill-willed toward me, who humiliated and afflicted me, whose bad faith often led me to the harshest privations, I not only forgive you, I thank you. Wishing to do me wrong, you didn't even suspect that you were actually doing so much good. It is therefore true that I owe you for a big part of the happiness I now enjoy, for you provided me an opportunity to forgive, to return evil with good. God put you in my way in order to test my patience and enable me to practice the most difficult kind of charity, loving one's enemies. Please don't get impatient at this digression. I will now finally address what you have asked of me. Although I suffered dreadfully with my final illness, I didn't pass over in agony. My death was like sleep, without struggle or shock. Since I had no fear about my future, I didn't try to cling to life, and consequently, didn't have to struggle during my last moments. The separation occurred without effort, without pain, and without my even realizing it. I don't know how long that final sleep lasted, but it was brief. My awakening was calm compared to my previous condition. I no longer felt any pain, and I exulted in joy. I wanted to get up and move around, but a sort of gentle numbness, which had nothing disagreeable about it, which even had a certain appeal, restrained me, and I gladly surrendered myself to it, without being aware of my situation, but having no doubt that I had just left the earth. Everything around me seemed like a dream. I saw my wife and some friends kneeling and weeping in my room, and I told myself that they obviously considered me dead. I wanted to correct them, but I couldn't articulate any words, and this led me to the conclusion that I had to be dreaming. What seemed to confirm this idea was that I saw myself surrounded by many beloved individuals who had died a long time ago, and others whom I did not immediately recognize, but who seemed to be watching me, waiting for me to wake up. This state was interlaced with moments of lucidity and drowsiness, during which I alternately recovered and lost consciousness of myself. Little by little, my mind became clearer. The light that I had only glimpsed through the type of fog became brighter. I then began to recognize my state and understood that I no longer belonged to the terrestrial world. If I had not known Spiritism, the illusions would have undoubtedly been prolonged for quite some time. My mortal remains had not yet been buried. I regarded them with respect, although I felt happy at having been disencumbered of them. I was so happy at being free. I was breathing with the ease of someone who has just emerged from a suffocating atmosphere, and an indescribable sensation of bliss impregnated my entire being. The presence of individuals whom I used to love filled me with joy, and I was not surprised at seeing them. It seemed quite natural, as if I were seeing them again after a long voyage. One thing surprised me right at first: the fact that we understood each other without saying anything. We transmitted our thoughts by simply looking at each other as though by some sort of fluidic penetration. Nevertheless, I was still not completely detached from earthly ideas. The memory of what I had endured came back to me from time to time to make me better appreciate my new situation. I had suffered physically, but especially mentally. I had been the target of malevolence, a thousand vexations that were perhaps more painful than patently misfortune, because they keep us in a state of constant anxiety. This feeling had not yet disappeared completely, and sometimes I asked myself if I was really free of them. It still seemed like I was hearing a few unpleasant voices. I often worried about the troubles these voices used to cause me, and I trembled in spite of myself. I tried to feel myself, so to speak, in order to be assured that I was not being deceived by a dream, and when the certainty hit me that all that had indeed ended, I felt I had been relieved of an enormous weight. It is thus quite true, I told myself. I am finally free of all those worries that I used to make my life a torment, and I rendered thanks to God for the fact. I was like a poor man who had suddenly received a large fortune, and who for a long time couldn't believe it was real, still feeling worried about his needs. Oh, if only people could comprehend the future life, what power, what courage it would give them amidst adversity. What they wouldn't do during their lifetime on earth in order to guarantee themselves the happiness that God has reserved for the children who have been obedient to His laws. Then they would see how insignificant are the pleasures they envy during their life compared to those they disdain.
Have that world so new to you, and in light of which ours has such little value, and the many friends whom you have rejoined caused you to forget the family and friends you left behind on earth?
If I were to forget them, I would be unworthy of happiness I am enjoying. God does not reward selfishness, He punishes it, The world in which I find myself might lead me to scorn the earth, but I could never scorn the spirits who are incarnate there. Only amongst men and women do we see the prosperity lead to forgetting former companions in misfortune. I visit mine often, and I feel happy for the remembrances they hold of me. Their thoughts attract me to them. I watch their conversations. I delight in their joys, and their worries sadden me. However, because I understand that their problems are only temporary and for their own good, it's not the kind of sadness that is full of anxiety like that which we suffer while incarnate. I feel happy to think that someday they will also come to this happy plane where pain is unknown. I am striving to help them to become worthy of it. I am doing my utmost to suggest good thoughts to them, especially regarding resignation, which I myself displayed before the will of God. My greatest sadness is seeing them delay that time by their lack of courage, their complaining, their doubts about the future, or by any reprehensible acts. Thus, I try to divert them from the path of evil. Whenever I am successful, it is a great happiness for me, and all of us here rejoice. Whenever I fail, I sadly tell myself, once more, they have delayed their moment of joy. But I am consoled when I remember that none are irredeemably lost. Samuel Philippe.